Well, the generals under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have not been successful.
Do you know ISIS, more about ISIS than they do?
I think under the leadership of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the generals have been reduced to rubble. They have been reduced to a point where it's embarrassing for our country. And I can just see the great, as an example, General George Patton spinning in his grave as ISIS we can't beat.
You know, one of the things about Donald Trump that rather amazes me is he likes to quote or reference leaders that had movies made about him, because I think that's his only familiarity. I love that movie, Turner Classic Movies. They do it uncut. I love it. I mean, George Patton is a great American hero. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But the history of Patton is a fascinating one. There's a lot of nuance in it. Didn't always win every battle, especially with his own generals. Right? And so I think that General George Patton, were he alive today, would look at this, you know, through the eyes of a warrior, not through the eyes of a populist potential dictator. All right. Michael Hayden is with us. He used to run the CIA. He used to run the NSA. He's a four-star Air Force general. Fly Air Force, sir. Mike, did you have a chance to see this last night? Did you see it?
I was on the Acela last night. Did not see it, but Lord knows, bro, I have seen all the highlight reel I need to see today. So I feel pretty familiar.
And your takeaway, it seemed today, not good for either of them. Would you agree, or how would you weigh in on the way they performed in this commander in chief interview?
They both got a lot of work to do. Secretary Clinton, obviously far more knowledgeable. Unfortunately, about a third of her time was chewed up with email stuff. Mm-hmm. Far more knowledgeable. She had a structure, and the dark side of that, Anna, is once you have a structure, you can poke holes in it. You can critique it. And that's the normal process here. So she did have a logical approach, about which I have many concerns. On the other side, I got this amorphous blob of a policy outline, and it's hard to pin anything down, so hard to criticize the specifics. Both of them have work to do.
The things that seem to stand out in terms of gaffes that they made, other than Gary Johnson's Aleppo comment, which is dominating news cycles right now, but Trump last night seemed to not know there was a military court. He seemed to not be able to get very specific on a lot of the different issues around the world. Hillary Clinton said, we'll defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria, and we'll do it without committing any ground troops, and then needed to be reminded that, yes, we have ground troops there. Were those significant issues
exactly
to you?
Anna, that's it. That's exactly what I was trying to describe. And you hit the nail on the head with some specifics. The secretary's out there with a bit of a plan. Okay, I can see what she's thinking. But the fact of the matter is, you know, what she could have said was, and we're not going to return large maneuver brigades to that desert, but we've got ground troops there already. We've got fire bases. We've got artillery units. And so if you know any of the background, you're going, well, that's not very precise. And then let me come back to Mr. Trump's comments about the general. And let me be very candid with you guys. That's the first time I've heard a presidential candidate actually begin to suggest that he would purge the senior officer corps. Well, let me be more precise. That's the first time I've heard an American presidential candidate suggest he would purge the senior officer corps. And just reading slightly between the lines, Ro, Anna, their offense was that they operated within the political guidance of his predecessor.
Okay, see, right. First of all, in order to purge generals, it requires an act of Congress, right? I mean, he does the except for the Joint Chiefs.
They have statutory terms that they serve. That's
right.
Correct. And Ro, we have them for a reason, so that we do not politicize
correct
the positions.
Yes, correct. Hey, General. Speaking of generals, let me ask you this. He talked about the military briefing last night. He talked about the military briefing, and he could tell because of the body language that of his briefers that Obama, that they had not listened to what the briefers had told the president and the secretary of state, then secretary of state, did not listen to the briefers, and they seemed all dejected by the fact that they hadn't been listened to. And that, and he could tell because he's very good with body language. I wonder what your thought, for having been a part of this, what your thoughts on that are.
Straight from the heart, that was awful. There was Mr. Trump using intelligence community professionals, imputing something to them. I read body language, and using them as political props to make a political point. You had professionals in there in a very non-political environment, giving the candidate of a major American party a non-partisan intelligence briefing. And now Mr. Trump, looking for some way to back up his position and lacking any other facts to rely on, I have to be very candid with you, in my sense, made up the facts with this alleged body language. I know Jim Clapper, the director of national intelligence. Jim would send the A-team in that briefing. These are seasoned professionals. They would not have done what Mr. Trump alleged.
All right, I want to play this for you and ask you just to comment.
He is really very much of a leader. I mean, you can say, oh, isn't that a terrible thing he called? I mean, the man has very strong control over a country. Now, it's a very different system, and I don't happen to like the system.
And he also said that Putin had an 82% approval rating, which makes him a stronger leader than Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that, General?
Well, I hope we all understand that an 82% approval rating in the Russian Federation means something different than an 82% approval rating.
That's a loser. That means 18% were willing to take their lives in their
That's
own
right.
hands
Certain
to say no.
People will be assassinated soon.
So actually, I was most struck by, I mean, Matt Large, he got a lot of criticism today, but he did try on multiple occasions to try to pin down, particularly Mr. Trump, who likes to deflect questions and kind of run out the shot clock. He did bring up all the things that Putin has done. And then Mr. Trump simply says, if he says nice things about me, I will say nice things about him. In effect, saying it doesn't matter that he's done all this. If he talks nice to me, I'll talk nice back to him.
Right. How dangerous
that's
is Putin?
Too.
Let's just identify this, because you were the head. You had the job that he had in Russia. You were the head of the CIA. He was the head of the KGB. You're intimately familiar with what goes on there. What can you tell us about that guy as an international actor?
He is decisive, and in that sense, Mr. Trump is correct. I mean, I have complained about the indecision coming out of our current administration, and Mr. Putin is decisive. Now, then again, he doesn't have the constitutional restrictions that an American president has. He is tactically clever, but I think strategically, he is guiding his country to rack and ruin by isolating it from the larger global community on which it will ultimately have to rely. And so I think Putin knows that he's actually dealing from a position of weakness. I said once on national TV about a year or so ago that he's doing all this and he doesn't have more than a pair of sevens in his hand. And he knows it. No picture cards, but he's being daring. And frankly, in this case, I think he's being daring because the other guys aren't calling the pot on him. And so I would support a more robust American pushback to Mr. Putin. But there is no respect for him as a leader. And let me just turn this wheel one more time, guys. Mr. Trump has occasionally exhibited a pretty bad case of autocrat envy, saying kind words not just about Vladimir Putin, but about Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. And how, as a young man, he really took control in North Korea. Those are kind of off-putting statements for somebody in my background.
And the Putin compliment, intentional to draw Trump in your experience, is that the former KGB agent's way, or head of the KGB's way of appealing to this man's ego?
And a great question. A good friend of mine, Michael Morrell, who was the acting director of CIA and a close colleague of mine, has actually written that Putin used traditional tradecraft on Mr. Trump, even though from a distance, using one of the classic techniques we use, which is an appeal to ego, in order to get someone more or less on side to do the kinds of things you want. Now, look, neither Michael nor I is saying he's a recruited agent or anything like that. I'm just saying that Putin, the KGB professional, is using KGB approaches when it comes to trying to affect American behavior.
All right. And finally, now, you saw what Gary Johnson, the guy's libertarian candidate, did today.
Yeah,
whole Aleppo thing. Yeah. Didn't know where it was. Didn't know what they were talking about when they asked him a question about it. Then you have Hillary Clinton. And again, as you pointed out, I mean, about a third of the 30 minutes that she had allotted to her was you know, about emails and about all that. Listen, there are a lot of legitimate questions about that. I mean, you were the head of the CIA and the NSA. I mean, probably even more of an NSA role here in this kind of a situation. I mean, the Secretary of State shouldn't be off the grid, should she?
No. And in fact, look, the way I kind of try to capture the whole email escapade is simply saying, for anyone of the kind of background I have had, setting it up that way was inconceivable, and the subsequent explanations of it have been incoherent.
Yeah.
Can I just add a thought, though? You brought up the other presidential candidate from the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
I actually watched that this morning on, mm-hmm. on Morning Joe. And I felt badly for the man, who seems to be a decent human being.
Yeah.
But you know what? After it was done, you know what he did? He apologized.
He owned up to it.
There's something.
Yeah, we don't see that.
He shouldn't know. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what?
So right now, I don't think he's running third, in my view.
Right, a guy who can actually acknowledge when he made a mistake and say and correct it and go, we should do it this way. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. What a Michael Hayden, what a concept that would be in America today. All right. Well, let us all pray for ourselves. I think that's the only way to go from this point forward. General, thank you very much. As always,
thanks,
it's a great pleasure.
Thanks. And hi to all friends and family in Chicago.